morning. Praise God. It's good to be able to come and share with you today. And it's a rather special day for our veterans. So all of our veterans, if you would stand, please. All of you that have served or are serving. And amen. Praise God. Thank you. We got quite a group here, and some of them aren't with us today, but praise God for these folks, men and women. Veterans Day, it's pretty special to the veterans, being one myself. Whether they admit it or not, it's very special in their hearts. And I thank God for, you know, many that have served. I'm fortunate and blessed. I have two son-in-laws that serve. One is a major in the Air Force, and the other is a major in the Army. And you know, Tim is a chaplain with the Special Forces, Green Beret, so that's quite an honor. And my new son-in-law, Brian, and I thank God for men and women that are able to say yes and put on the uniform and to wear it proudly and with honor. It's a great tribute. We're going to have a little special here today. It's by Kenny Thomas, right? And he was, you might remember the Black Hawk Down. He was one of the Rangers there. And he's also a Christian and a musician. So this is in honor of our veterans, all of them, that serve this great country. Yeah. And you know, you think about the veterans. And I today's message, Pastor called me Friday night and asked me if I'd share today. And I said, sure. And, you know, Veterans Day, so you get rushed around about, you know, prayer time and what you should share. And you know, I want to share some thoughts with you today on the uniform of the veteran, not only as in a military sense, but also in a spiritual sense. And Kenny Thomas, if I might put a plug in for him, if you want to read a nice, a good text on combat and the principles of Christianity within combat, his book, Get It On, is a great read, and it will move your heart. But I think I need to pray a little bit. My heart's pounding today because it's real special to me. Father, we thank you today for all your love and goodness. Thank you for Christ Jesus, our salvation in him. Thank you for how you blessed and touched our lives and how you see us through things. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for all those that have served in our military who have given their all, some of them. We thank you for each one of them. And for those serving today, be with them. They're the finest military force this country has ever known, those that are serving today. And I pray, God, your blessing upon them as they enter into situations, as they enter into harm's way, that you give them courage and strength and endurance. May you bless and speak to their hearts and draw them to yourself when we give you thanks and praise. Bless this message, and I pray, Holy Spirit, to use and guide as we go through this, and we give Jesus all thanks. Amen. Amen. Doris, did you have that? If you don't mind, my wife's going to bring me a drink. The uniform of the veteran. Thanks, sweetie. It's okay if I call her sweetie, right? If you know her, you know she is. The uniform of a veteran. And if we were to take a survey and speak to our veterans here today, they would tell us how their lives were changed because of their service in the military. We'd have many testimonies of how now they now see God's hand and how God worked in their lives during those younger years for most of us. And I know that the reflections back over that time can cause us to be even more aware of how instrumental God is in our lives. We don't always see it, but God's at work. And even before I knew him, he was at work. And I'd like to take a few moments and have us look at that uniform that the veteran wears, both in a military sense and in a spiritual sense. And I just want to speak to you on that thought today. And the first point I would like to bring out or share with you is to dress well. It's not so much that we look good, but that we live well. Whenever we see someone dressed in their uniform as they represent our country, I'm always quite amazed and thankful. And you see some of them, and they've been in for many years, and they have their ribbons and their commendations, and it's just impressive to see an individual who has endured and stayed the course, so to speak. And as Christians, we need to stay the course. Do you believe that? You need to stay this course. You get off the course, there's trouble there. And the uniform is important to them, and at least it should be. Now, I know there's always one or two end up doing something real foolish and make us think, why do such a thing? But, you know, overall, that 99% who wear the uniform, those are dedicated, committed, honorable individuals who respect and give thanks for their country, and they wear the uniform in that fashion. Now, the same is in our walk as a believer also. If you look at Ephesians chapter 6, you don't need to turn there. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17, the scripture gives us instructions on what to wear and how to wear it. And the scripture lists things in those verses for you and I to be aware that we need to dress properly in the things of Christ. Because I tell you, if you do not do that, you will be vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. He's always going to seek whom he may devour anyway, and he's going to throw the missiles. And God says you need to dress well. We need to dress ourselves, and I'm not going to have you turn there because it's a little too lengthy and I want to go on to some other things. But if, just remember, I'm going to give you a little message here in a little bit. Let me ask, has anybody ever heard of 782 gear? Any military folks? Do you remember 782 gear? Wow. 782 gear is gear defined as tools or gear or equipment needed for combat life. So the military, they've got the helmet, the flak jacket, your canteens, your boots, your weapon, your water. All these things are necessary for combat life. In Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 17, you might want to put 782 gear. I've got it listed next to mine, 782 gear. Because without it, if you go into combat without your weapon, if you go into combat without your having enough water, you're dead. And as Christians, if we go into combat without this gear, we're in trouble. God says, gird yourselves with that belt of truth. Put it around you, tighten it, so it stays put. I used to work with a man that he never wore a belt, and I always thought, now, that would be a problem for me. I'd have a problem. I'd be afraid things might fall. You need to take that belt of truth and gird it around your midsection so you keep it here close to your vital organs. You need to protect your heart with the breastplate of righteousness. And when I read that, I always remember the flak jacket. I couldn't, being in the Marines, I'll share the flak jacket. Just, you know, it's different today than it was in the 60s. Better equipped. That flak jacket was a pain, but it was a lifesaver on occasions. So God says you need to have that breastplate of righteousness wrapped around you, and you need to walk in gospel shoes, bringing the good news. And without good shoes, a combat veteran or a veteran, you're going to be hurting. Without good shoes, if you're a runner, you're not going to do as well. Your feet are going to be damaged. You need to have good boots, good shoes, and the shoes of the gospel that you and I walk with and take the gospel from here to there, sharing the good news. God says, be dressed well. Keep the shield of faith at the ready to extinguish the missiles of our enemy. That shield of faith, put it up there and hold it up there, because in Christ, our faith can be strong. And without faith, it says, it's impossible to please him. Wear the good helmet of salvation to keep your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, that was another piece of equipment that I did not enjoy, was that helmet. It weighed too much, and it bothered my neck. But I did not discard it, because I knew I needed it. The scripture says, guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Flood your minds with the things of God. Guard yourselves that way. Wear the good helmet of salvation. And use the sword of the Spirit, which is our life manual. Use it daily. Pick it up. Use it. Without it, we're in trouble. And pray at all times, believing and trusting God. The veteran understands this. And I wrote down a little note here, the new recruit versus the veteran. And I remember when I first went to the bush in Vietnam, and we were all dressed nice and pretty. Our camis were brand new, our boots were nice and black. They would look great. And then you get to the bush and you see the veteran. Faded. Boots are no longer black. They're a sand color. Because he's been wearing them. He's been using them. And newbies, as they were called, used to put fear into the veterans. If you're in country 9 months and they send out a newbie, you are a little skeptical that they might not know exactly what to do and when to do it. And I've always been thankful that when I arrived there, two or three, four Marines took me in, and they kind of guided me through some things. Because until you can learn all you want, you can read all the stories, you can watch all the movies, and you won't know what it's like until you've been there. And the veterans that have been there will train you and teach you. But they're going to keep one eye on you because they don't want you doing something that might get them injured or killed. One has been tested, the other will be. We've had great leaders in our country. One of them was General John Pershing. You might remember or recall the Pershing tank. But he had many victories as a leader in the U.S. Army during World War I. He was given the rank of general of the armies, and that was above Eisenhower, Bradley, and MacArthur. What most people do not know is that in 1915, a fire broke out in the officer's housing, and he lost his wife and three young daughters. His son Warren was the only survivor. In copies of the New Testament, I love this, that he gave his men were these words. And he writes, "To the American soldier, aroused against a nation waging war in violation of all Christian principles, our people are fighting in cause of liberty. Hardship will be your lot, but our Savior will give you strength." I'd like to hear more of that from those in authority. He will give you strength. Let me get back to where I was. He will give you comfort. Temptation will befall you, but the teachings of our Savior will give you strength. So he'll give you comfort, he'll give you strength. This is the general of the generals writing to his men. He says, "Let your valor as a soldier and your conduct as a man be an inspiration to your comrades and an honor to your country, General Pershing." It's the kind of message you want to hear from those in charge. Amen? A price has been paid to wear that uniform, just as a great price was paid for us to live as Christians. It's been paid. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, it says these words, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourself to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world." General Pershing gave message to his soldiers. God gives messages to us on how to live. It is a perverse and crooked generation. But you and I, as believers in Christ Jesus, we have a light about us. There's a message that we have in our living, in our life, that speaks to those around us. I was with Doris the other night, a week or so ago, and she was going to go shopping. It was one of those five-minute deals where it turned into more like 20, 25. And so I said, "Well, you know, I'm going to just wait here and put the seat back and, you know, relax." So I did that, and a vehicle pulled in. And I happened to notice the plate, and I did share this a little bit. But the plate said 29 Fox Company. So I already knew what that was. It was a veteran's plate, and I assumed the 29 Fox. I figured it was the Marine Corps. So I saw a couple of individuals get out. Then I saw the gentleman get out. So it's kind of a hobby of mine to speak with veterans. So I went up and I introduced myself, and I said, "You know, I saw your plate, and I was just wondering, you know, who you served with." And he says, "No, it wasn't I that served. It was my nephew." And if I mentioned his name, you'd know him. They had a parade right out here, right, Doris? This street, right out here in December of 2010. I believe the church brought out hot chocolate and did some things like that. And he started to share with me about this young man. What a fine young man and strong character he was. And he was proud to serve his country. And he was proud to be in the Marine Corps. And then he said he not only was a fine young man, but he would volunteer to walk point for the married Marines. He was single. Now, Trust me when I tell you this. A walking point in a combat situation will test your mettle. He was shot by a sniper and killed instantly. But the memory and the message of the young man continues on. General Pershing shared a message that continues on. God shares messages with us from his book, from our manual, that carries on. We need to dress well, folks, in the things of Christ, because there will come times when your mettle will be tested. We need to have a steadfast hope in our service, not only in the military, but to God. Philippians 3 and verse 12 says this, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ." Hallelujah. Has Christ laid hold of you yet? Is he laying hold of who you are as a believer? Jeremiah Denton, you might remember, was a POW during the Vietnam War. 7 years held as a POW. Tortured, mistreated, to say the least. He was, you know, snapped his shoulder out of joint. I don't need to describe everything. But part of his testimony that I heard one time that really got to me was that he shared one of the things, the memory of home, the memory of loved ones, of his wife, of his family, of his kid, you know, all those things was there. He says, but one of the things that kept me was Scripture. He testified that he began to recall Scripture from his early days and Sunday school and church. And he said after that period of time, he had well over 100 scriptures that came back to his mind. Now you tell me God's not in someone's life. There it is right there. And it held him. Jesus holds us together, folks. How would you be if you weren't a Christian? I see people all the time, they're falling apart. Christ holds us together as he holds all things together. When Jeremiah came home, he might have been physically beat up a little bit, but he came home appreciating and loving God and appreciating who God was in his life or is in his life. Psalms 146 in verse 5 says this, "How blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God." In Romans 15:13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. Praise God that we have someone that holds us together. And one of the best-kept secrets of World War II was the gyro stabilizer. Anybody hear of the gyro stabilizer? Okay. The gyro stabilizer was a mechanism in a little black box mounted on our tanks and next to the 75-millimeter cannons and the machine guns on that tank. And what it did, it kept everything, the gyroscope, it would keep the weapons on target even when bouncing along a rough terrain. What an advantage for that military equipment, that tank, to still be bouncing along yet stay on target. Well, that's what God does with us. We bounce along, go here and there, we're in battles, but the Holy Spirit keeps us on target. He keeps us stable. He keeps us put in Him. He keeps us there. It might be blowing all around you. It might be falling apart. But God is there. And He keeps us together. He keeps us stabilized. God does that for us as we battle the ups and downs of life. The phone call rings, and there's a death in the family. The police station calls. We've got your son here. I've had phone calls like that. I'm not making that up. You've had some of those calls too. You've experienced some of that in your life. What keeps you? The great stabilizer, Christ Jesus, keeps us. You go through the rough stuff, the tough stuff, the ups and downs, and yet there is God with you. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us. Isaiah 26 in verse 3. The steadfast mind of thou will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee. I like the King James. He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. There's not a person in this room that hasn't experienced the downs of life. It happens to all. It happens to Christians just as well as it happens to those out there that do not know Christ. The difference is we have this stabilizer. We have this person. We have the Holy Ghost, which holds us and keeps us together. So when the winds blow, the foundation still remains. God gives us stability during the most trying times. He gives us his word. He gives us his letters that we might find stability and strength to remain steadfast in him. If I may read you something, this is a testimony of David Taff. And I want you to listen to the citation that he received. He was in the Navy, and he was a surgeon in Vietnam. And when I read this, something just a week or so ago I saw on TV was almost identical. And you might have seen it. So this might ring a bell with you. Here's the citation. For extraordinary heroism on 27 August 1967, while serving as a surgeon with the 1st Marine Division near Da Nang, Republic of Vietnam, in the direct support of combat operations against communist insurgents, the Viet Cong forces, when a seriously wounded casualty with an armed 2.75-inch rocket embedded in his left leg was brought by helicopter to the 1st Medical Battalion. Lieutenant Commander Taff carefully diagnosed the case, concluding that the knee joint, nerves, and arteries in the area were destroyed and that surgical amputation was imperative and time was of the essence. Anticipating that the rocket might detonate at any moment, he immediately supervised the patient's emergency treatment and transfer to the operating room, setting an outstanding example of calmness and courage. He assisted with the administration of spinal anesthetic, which necessitated manipulating and positioning the victim several times. Lieutenant Commander Taff cleared the operating room of all personnel, with the exception of the patient himself and a Navy corpsman. And then with complete disregard for his own safety, coolly performed the necessary surgery. By his extraordinary treatment of the patient, his superior professional skill, and his unfaltering devotion to duty, Lieutenant Commander Taff undoubtedly saved the injured man's life and was instrumental in removing the threat of death or injury from other personnel in the vicinity of the operating room, thereby upholding the highest traditions of the United States Naval Service. Secretary of Navy Paul Ignatius. Now the rest of the story. As he amputated the man's leg, he had to remove it. So he took it outside, went about 200 yards, and they had dug a big hole in the ground, and he carefully put the leg with the rocket in the hole. He walked back to his area where he was performing surgery. Before they could detonate it, it blew. What do you think? You think God might have intervened a little bit there? Or was it just coincidence that it took a little longer for that rocket to explode? God intervenes, my friends. He comes to our assistance. He comes to our aid. You might think it's too late, but it's never too late for Him. He's our stabilizer. He's our force. He's our strength. He gives to us that which we need. And I don't know if you saw it. Just the other week, there was a show on that was very similar to that of an individual from Afghanistan who had a rocket in his leg. And they removed the leg. They were able to take care of the rocket and get it out. God is in control. Nothing surprises Him. He gives us stability and courage in the most trying times. You know what? George Patton said that courage is fear hanging on a little longer. You just hang on. And you hang on, and you hang on, and you hang on. And God shows Himself. He comes to our rescue. He's our stability. He gives us a great hope. We're dressed well. We need a steadfast hope. And we need a song of joy within us. You know what really... One of the things that really attracted me as a young 24-year-old to Christianity was the joy of God's people. You know, I thought smoking pot gave you joy. Smoking pot makes you numb and dumb. So all my hippie friends, if you're watching, you come see me. But the joy of God and the happiness we see amongst God's people, that is attracting. That I saw that and I said, wow, these people are pretty cool and they're pretty happy. What is this? You know, God had a plan a long time ago for me, and it's, you know, I didn't know. You know, what do I know about God's plan? I just follow along and enjoy what I've got. There is a song of joy within us. Psalms 42 and verse 8. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and His song will be with me in the night. Hallelujah. Don't you like a good song at night? Saturday morning, you can ask my wife, I woke up at 0400. That's 4 a.m. for all you folks. And, of course, I did not wake her up at that time because I cherish my life. But after she got up, I said, you know, honey, it was so strange. I was dreaming about a song, a hymn that we sing here. And it was like I was singing it with somebody, but there was nobody there. It was just a song. It was so, I was so impressed with that song. Now, I won't bore you or hurt you by singing it. But the lyrics go. And you know the song. Some of you know the song. You know, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And when He takes me by my hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. That's a pretty good song to wake up to, don't you think? I thought it was. God gives us songs in the night. He gives us a loving kindness in the daytime, and His song will be with me in the night. Psalms 77 and verse 6. I will remember my song in the night. I could have gone on with this. There were so many verses that I found as I searched. And I said, wow, that's what you did for me. I will remember my song on the night, Psalm 77:6. I will meditate with my heart and my spirit will ponder. That's what I did. I said, why was I dreaming about that song out of the blue? You know, I wasn't dreaming about, Doris had a dream not too long ago about caterpillars attacking her. And I saved her. Because she was moaning and groaning. And I said, honey, you're having a bad dream. Wake up. Oh, thank you for waking me up. I had this dream that just I woke up with a smile on my heart. God gives us songs. He gives us a message in them. And he has us to ponder, to think about, why did we dream that? Why did that take place? It's because God loves us. He gives us joy even in the midst of trouble and laughter when we need it the most. You know, laughter is a great thing, isn't it? It's great to laugh and laugh so hard your belly hurts. Have you ever done that? Some of us need to do more of it. I love it when if I get somebody laughing, I sometimes might go a little bit further than I should, you know. So they have to walk out, they're dying. But even in the most difficult situations, you can find something to laugh about. It's a strange thing, I know. Now, we were on an ambush one night. We went out. I was carrying the radio that night. We encountered the enemy. We had some action. And then we came back in to our platoon, came in, was debriefed by the lieutenant and all of that. And so we're kind of relaxing a little bit. And Sergeant Smith, his real name, he had to go to the bathroom. Now, there are no porta-potties. There's no McDonald's. There's no Burger King. There's nothing, absolutely nothing in the bush. So you have to take a piece of your 782 gear, the E-tool. You know, how many know what an E-tool is? That's it, Wally. It's the entrenching tool. It's about this long. It's a fold-up shovel. So that's what you use to go dig your place. So Sergeant Smith had to go. So he went, and it's even funny now a little bit. As he was doing his thing, he started getting shot at. Now, who would shoot at a guy going to the bathroom? That's pretty low, don't you think? So we all responded, as Marines do, and the M60 started firing, and we shot a couple laws and knocked down a few trees and, you know, did our usual Marine Corps stuff, blow things up. And, here comes Sergeant Smith running. Now, he's trying to run and pull up his pants at the same time. I know it's kind of crude, but he was stumbling. And as he got to where our fighting hole was, and he stumbled, and he kind of fell down, and I looked at him, I said, so how did that go? And he just looked at me and laughed. Now, I know it sounds strange, but if you read enough about those situations, you will find veterans have their own sense of humor sometimes. It keeps them on the level, so to speak. It keeps them, you know, going on. See, God gives us joy. God gives us peace. God gives us a song within our hearts. Exodus 15, verse 2. Just after Moses led the Israelites and through the waters, and the Egyptians were swallowed up. Exodus 15, verse 2. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. And we've sung this. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Hallelujah. They had a song in that. They just came through this miracle with the enemy chasing them. The enemy chases us sometimes. But here's God with his servant. Well, we'll just open up and we're going to swallow him up. The enemy was gone. And then Sister Miriam gets a little excited herself. In verse 20, she says, okay, ladies. She grabs her timbo or tambourine and in the verse 20 says this, sing to the Lord for he is highly exalted. The horse and rider has been hurled into the sea. Those two songs are probably the best known songs in the Old Testament. The most known, the best known. God gives us songs, folks, even through that difficult time. And he makes a way where there is no way. Now, there are tough moments. We remember, you know, November 11th, Veterans Day, Pearl Harbor, December 7th, Christmas 25th. And there's, I'm sure there's special dates that you have, that you remember. August 10th, 1969. I was not at Woodstock. I was in Vietnam. I was with 2nd Battalion, 3rd Marines, up on the DMZ, up on a place called Mudder's Ridge. You could Google it. I was surprised to see it. We encountered the NVA 404th Army. We lost 19 Marines that night. Twice that many or more wounded. Now you have to understand something. I'm 18 years old. I didn't even shave. I don't think I was out of puberty yet. And I remember when they told us to dig in, we're spending another night. I thought, oh, you got to be crazy. So you start digging your fighting hole, and I don't know why this happened. I think I was close to a breakdown myself. And I laid the E-tool down. See, it was used for digging fighting holes too. And I walked around to my left, and I walked around the perimeter. And there was no reason for me to do that. None whatsoever. And I saw our machine gunner, the M60 machine gunner. His name was JJ, big guy. Been in country a lot longer than me. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he goes. And I thought, oh, gosh. Then I walked around a little bit further, and I saw a couple of wounded Marines. They were getting ready to medevac out. And I walked back to the fighting hole. I stopped. I got down. I'm not a Christian at this time. And I said, God, if I die here, help me to die well. And something just took place. Instead of the anxiety and a kind of a peace came. I settled it. I started digging the fighting hole a little bit more, and then we got word, pack up, we're moving out. Thank you. My fire team was the last fire team out. I was the last one out. And I remember looking back, and you see this area that had been, battle had gone on. Yet God's grace, I didn't know it at the time, but God's grace was there with me. I didn't know who to call. I didn't know the name. Nobody had ever shared with me it was Jesus. Nobody ever shared that with me. But I knew enough to call out to a God who is above everything else that I was in. And he came and he helped an 18-year-old kid get through some tough times. Now I had about 8 more months to go. And as veterans, we, you know, other veterans out here can tell you similar stories. God wants us to dress well. He wants us to have steadfast hope. And he wants us to keep the song going. Hallelujah. The Patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree as we honor our veterans. Praise God. Would you bow your heads with me for just a few moments? Listen, your circumstance, your situation might seem too hard to bear. It might seem like no one, nothing can help you. But you know that's right where you need to be, because now you can call upon God. Now you can trust in him who is above everything else. He's above that situation. He's above that problem. He gives us a song. He gives us a joy. He gives us a peace. But we need to do something about that. We need to rise up and call upon God. And I share with you my heart as that young kid. I'm not ashamed at all to tell you I almost lost it. But God came and he did something very special in my heart and my life. And I didn't even know what was going on. And here you are today. We can know. And I want to ask you this. Is it too hard for you to handle? We can't handle some of these things on our own. We can't. You cannot do it. You might for a while. But my friend, you need God. And I'm thankful that when I came home, I found a family, married into that family, and they were Christians, and I met a pastor. And I found Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Have I had struggles since? Absolutely. But you know who's been there? God's been there. And he'll be there for you. But you have to make, you have to say, I need you. So would you head bowed? If that's tugging at your heart, listen, one of the worst things you can do is to ignore the Holy Spirit tugging at you. Don't let the enemy rob you of a moment that you will have with God. So if God is tugging at your heart, I want you to get up out of your seat and I want you to come here to the altar and we're just going to pray. We're just going to ask God to intervene, to come, to assist, to give us a song in our hearts, to give us assurance that he cares and understands. Is there anyone here today that would be obedient to that? Now, if everything's well and dandy, that's great. But if you need God to come and assist and be there with you at this time, you need to act upon it and get up out of your seat and come here and just come to the altar, which is prepared right here for us, because God's here, and ask God and believe God to assist you. And if that's not the case, then all is well. But you know, I don't believe that. It's too much of a conviction in my heart and spirit this morning. Don't hesitate. Listen to that prompting that's in your heart and spirit. Because God is speaking. And He will minister His truth and grace to all of us. To all that call upon Him. Hallelujah. It may seem like things have gone awry. You know, but God can help us get on that right track and bless and touch our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you all stand with me? You know what? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Take a moment. Take a moment and some of the deacons come, ladies come, pray with the folks that are here. And I want you all to just take a moment, lift your hands to Christ, to our God, our Savior, our friend, our comforter, and just thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him that He holds us together. He keeps us intact through the most difficult times. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.